Whakatakate hau ki te uru, whakatakate hau ki te tonga. Kia mā kinakina ki uta, kia mā taratara ki tai. E hi ake ana te ātākura, he teo, he huka, he hauhunga. Hau me hui e, tai ki e. Kei ngā hau e whāra rau mai ki te hui. Ko mihi ngārangi tēnei, e mihi atu nei ki a koutou katoa. Welcome to the hui, Māori current affairs for all New Zealanders. E taro ake nei. This Queen's Birthday weekend, the voice of an angel, the mana of a dame. We reflect on Dame Hinewehi Mohi's defining performance of the national anthem in Te Reo Māori.
The enormity of representing our country at that moment was not lost on me, that's for sure.
She started the ball rolling that we now accept pretty well across the board now in New Zealand, that this is the natural way that we sing our national anthem. And I'm glad she did.
And we revisit Bros for Change, the Kaupapa Māori training program, transforming the lives of at-risk rangatahi.
You know, this is a chance for them to actually just be a young man, have no pressure and have fun and maybe a new experience.
I don't want you to see the things that I've seen and the things that I know in the justice system, correction system.
Tahuti mai. Dame Hinewehi Mohi is a singer, a breast cancer survivor, a campaigner and a creative. And now she can add Grand Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit to her long list of achievements. Today, Dame Hinewehi was named in the Queen's Birthday Honours for her services to Māori and music, a journey that began 21 years ago when she took to the stage to sing the national anthem in Te Reo Māori and changed our nation for the better. She's one of our most adored singers. Hinewehi Mohi back in the chapel, where her career began at Hato Hohepa Māori Girls College. These young women singing alongside her are too young to remember how she first became a household name. But for Hinewehi, the memory hasn't faded.
For 19 years, I really avoided it. I knew that it was a part of my backstory that was interesting to people. But because of that hurt and an inability to really understand why anyone could not feel the same love for our language and culture, that I guess I had buried it a little bit.
The year was 1999. The All Blacks were about to take the field, facing off against England in the quarter-final of the Rugby World Cup. 80,000 spectators had packed out Twickenham Stadium. Millions more tuned in around the world. At the centre of this epic scene, Hinewehi Mohi begins to sing.
The enormity of representing our country at that moment was not lost on me, that's for sure. And I just felt so proud to be there. I was really just so determined to do the very best job.
Hinewehi was in Europe promoting her reo Māori album Oceania when she was invited to perform our national anthem. She decided to sing it in the language she'd learnt it, Te Reo Māori.
She looked so beautiful. I was so proud and had tears in my eyes, actually, watching it. And then she went, Māori ora. I went, oh, there's no English. Okay, goodbye.
Keith Quinn remembers watching Hinewehi from the commentary box at Twickenham.
She was such a wonderful figure of New Zealandness, of Māoriness, that it had a really wonderful effect on me. I thought, it'll go on to the English version. And when it didn't, I can remember thinking, that's going to cause comment.
On a high from her international performance, Hinewehi was oblivious to the storm brewing back home. When did you start to realise that the feedback wasn't so great, that there was a backlash?
It had been organised for me to do an interview with the late Sir Paul Holmes, but when Paul rang me, he said there's been the most incredible backlash.
As the nation watched with pride, Hine Wehe Mohi stood in front of the rugby world and sang our anthem in Maori, no English. And there's an outcry. Talk back goes balmy. Faxes have been pouring in here.
I can understand Paul wanting to sing the song from the bottom of the heart. Unfortunately, 3 million New Zealanders wanted to do exactly the same thing, and we were unable to.
Close friend Stacey Morrison recalls watching the Holmes interview.
As a friend, I was just so proud, and then to see it all play out like she was some sort of villain, and I could tell she was upset and shocked.
And the blows kept coming from all directions.
One of the Māori members of the All Black squad said to me, "Oh, you sang the national anthem, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "It was really wrong what you did." And I was, you know, further devastated by the fact that he was Māori and hadn't supported the singing of the Māori version of the national anthem.
If she'd asked them whether she could sing in Māori, and indeed ask any of the New Zealand authorities from the New Zealand Rugby Union, that have told her no. So given the place of the te reo version of the national anthem in our society now right across the board, she was incredibly courageous to start it all with the singing that day.
20 years on, Hine Wehe can look back at the articles she's kept from the time.
Then we all drew breath to show the world how to sing a national anthem. Wrong! That silly female sang it in Maori to a deathly hush from some extremely angry New Zealanders. The only sound other than her rather shrill voice was a yell of sing it in English.
Did you hear that?
No, thank goodness.
Why do you think you keep with them?
Actually, that's a good question.
It is a little piece of history, my history, and even though it had been for a long time painful to read, I can read it now and not even cry.
Hine Wehe now lives in Havelock North with husband George and daughter Hinero Katauri, who was just 3 at the time. Tonight it's Kai with the Cuzzies and her 93-year-old grandmother, Joan Mohi. Twenty years on from Hine Wehe's game-changing performance, singing the anthem in te reo Māori is the new normal in Aotearoa.
She started the ball rolling that we now accept pretty well across the board now in New Zealand, that this is the natural way that we sing our national anthem. And I'm glad she did.
Hine Wehe changed the game, and I've never heard her speak of herself like that. And we know. And we actually need to make sure that our tamariki know. I tell my tamariki that. So if our hens did that, oh wow, okay.
Nowadays, the vitriol has been replaced with praise. Hine Wehe, a powerful example of what one voice can achieve.
A lot of Pākehā have come to me and said, "It was incredible what you did and made me feel really proud."
Promise myself, oh, I'm not going to cry.
Why do you think it's so emotional for you?
I don't even know how to articulate it.
I think it really just went right into the nitty-gritty part of my heart. And so to have someone come up to me years later and say how much it affected them in a positive way really gives me heart that we'll be okay and our language will be okay.
After the break, we revisit the Kaupapa Māori initiative, transforming the lives of at-risk youth. There's a saying that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And that's the philosophy behind a Kaupapa Māori initiative for at-risk youth. Using culture, identity and tikanga, Bros for Change is a unique 20-week program for rangatahi from intermediate school right through to more serious youth offenders. Last September, the Hui reporter Rawani Pereira went on camp to meet the men behind this transformational project.
Mango pare! Mango pai! Ka pai pai!
Rangatahi reconnecting with their inner warrior.
Whaetaro ki tarangi!
Somewhere they still know that they are Māori, but they've lost who they actually are, that identity.
And this is a chance for them to actually just be a young man, have no pressure and have fun and maybe a new experience.
Bros for Change is an alternative education course helping troubled youth become responsible young men.
What do I want out of this program of kaupapa?
Man, I want results. That's what I want.
I'd like to think that we're going to have amazing growth. I already see, I guess, that word potential in all of them. It's about really unlocking it.
For some of these kids, it's a second chance to get their life back on track.
I don't want these rangatahi in the system because it's a beast. It is a beast.
And a labour of love for the man whose own troubled youth inspired the project.
Everyone was like, bro, you can't write a program for vulnerable children when you've been in prison. So my thing was that I wanted to be successful in that just to prove them wrong.
It's the dawn of a new day in Kai Koura, and new beginnings are on the horizon. At Takahanga Marae, a group of local high school students are gathering. They're the latest intake for Bros for Change, a youth education program focused on real people, real talk, and real change.
So at the moment, with all of yous, your trust is all up here. If you fully trust yous, the only way you can go down is this. If you muck up, then it comes down, okay? And then you have to rebuild that trust. So we'll treat yous as, you know, you're up here.
Have a good time. You'll be right.
The 20-week program is designed for rangatahi from tough backgrounds. Today, they're heading off to Wainui Valley, where they'll be spending orientation week and meeting Bros for Change founder, Jay Pukepuke.
Hey,
they must form quite a tight bond pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. We all sleep in the same place, we eat the same food, we all fart and snore and got stink feet, and you know, you can't help but form a bond and build a relationship.
This is the start of a 6-month program. So there's going to be a lot of things come up and a lot of challenges. So we just need to roll with the punches and support each other and make sure we all are sitting here at the end.
Ready? Ready? 1, 2.
A former up-and-coming rugby league star, Jay developed this unique program 5 years ago with the goal of unlocking the potential in troubled teens.
You know, I had opportunity to play rugby league professionally and make heaps of money, but I couldn't because I went to prison. I came here to try and help fellas like yourself, like myself, if there's an opportunity that comes up in life, whatever it may be, that you can then go and do it and not miss out.
Speak up,
As a teen, Jay was tipped to achieve big things on the league field. But at just 16, his demons got the better of him.
You know, they said a lot of things even when I was young. You know, they labelled me stupid, hoary. You know, they said, you're going to go to jail. And I went to jail and I went, you're right.
Jay ended up serving 6 years in prison for his part in armed robberies. But the experience made him determined to change his life and to help others to do the same.
Everyone was like, bro, you can't write a program for vulnerable children when you've been in prison. So my thing was that I wanted to be successful in that just to prove them wrong.
Jay couldn't do this without the background and what he's been through. What better tuakana could you ask for?
44-year-old Damien Kamana is the latest member of the Bros for Change team, and today is day one in the new job.
I don't want you to see the things that I've seen and the things that I know in the justice system, correction system.
Damien too had a tough upbringing, growing up in a home where domestic violence was the norm.
We had a very dysfunctional family. As long as I can remember, my mother was abused. She was exposed to a lot of violence, a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, different men in and out of our lives, had no father figure.
And he found himself treating his wife the same way his mother had been.
My mother always thought that I'd never do anything like that. And I told her, well, I did. Pretty hard probably owning that, and pretty hard telling my mother that as well.
But through his work rehabilitating offenders, Damien began to understand his own behaviour.
Because essentially I was sitting with men that were perpetrators of family violence. I knew I was exactly the same. So over the last 4.5 years, I guess I've learnt a lot about myself.
And these experiences are used as teachable moments for the boys.
We all have a story of some sort. All those stories will come out over the next 6 months when appropriate to keep these boys on track, motivated, and going in the right direction.
The aim of the course is simple: getting kids outdoors and keeping them out of jail. Māori under 18-year-olds now make up a larger proportion of those taken into police custody.
All right, I'll play a game. You have to be in this area. I'll give you a minute and I'll turn around and I don't want to see anyone.
While it might look like pure entertainment, the activities are all designed to improve behaviours, like increasing their self-esteem and confidence.
Oh, I can't see anyone.
This is a chance for them to actually just be a young man and have no pressure and have fun and maybe a new experience.
Do you see yourself in some of those boys?
Oh, all of them. You know, there's potential in all of them, that famous word potential, but whether we use it or not. Hopefully they can start from a level playing field rather than having to come out a hole like we did.
After the break, the key role Mātauranga Māori plays in restoring the boys' self-belief.
Think about what your ancestors gave up for you guys to be here right now. Your tikuna gave up a lot for you to be here right now.
Auraki mai anō. Bros for Change is an alternative education program that's achieving an 89% success rate for rangatahi. The project creator says they're saving taxpayers around $1 million a year and keeping young men out of the criminal justice system. Anei te wāhanga turua o tēnei kōrero.
Bros for Change encourages rangatahi to get out of their comfort zone. The 17-metre-high swing isn't just a thrill ride, it's a chance to challenge themselves to dig deep.
Scared, very.
Yeah, a giant swing, I knew it would be something that would put the boys in a situation where they would have to really search for courage and working outside of their comfort zone. You go through all these emotions in your head, and it's you battling it, and you want to give up.
Go to the top, Angel.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm only going to go up like just a little bit.
But if you just push that barrier.
Two, one.
Then it's worth it. A sense of achievement. It's a small win. If you do it once, then you know you can push again. It's installing more belief.
Just as important as this test of mental strength is teaching the boys basic life skills.
Left hand to left hand.
Like waking up bright and early.
For a week, they wake up at 6:30 and they train every day, all day. The idea behind it was that if you're young and you've got no skills and no qualifications, usually the type of job you may get requires you to start really early.
And just as vital, how to cook a meal.
So tonight we're making nachos. So it's real easy.
While serving his jail sentence, Jay Pukepuke worked in the prison kitchen.
Always keep your eyes on the knife at all times, all right?
I always wanted to be a chef. Did a bit of an apprenticeship and then did the theory side and then worked as a chef. I think that was the start of, you know, when I started having self-belief is when I wanted to do something, I could do it. And then I was like, hey, I'm not stupid.
You don't put the onions in until the pot is hot.
I think that translated into other things in my life. I carried that on and things got bigger and bigger and bigger, including, you know, this program.
It's the Mātauranga Māori elements of the program that are truly life-changing for these young men.
The idea of standing up and giving your pepeha is to connect with people in the room, but it's actually also to gloat about who you are.
If we can give these guys their identity and know their whakapapa and where they actually come from and who they actually are, I think that's important because they need to keep that. We should never lose it.
No!
Today, they're learning the traditional art of morako, Māori weaponry.
Mango pai! Whakapai pai! Huane!
Developing their discipline, strength and identity.
The more energy you put into this, boys, the better you're going to feel.
The whole program's based on kaupapa Māori and in te ao Māori, the Māori world. Small things without shoving it down their throat all helps. Those are all foundations to build on, yeah.
Matau!
And those Matau. Foundations can lead Maui. To big things. Maui. An independent study of the program found that culturally based learning resulted Maui. In significant behavioural changes in rangatahi, improving their attendance Matau. And engagement at school. Jay believes a stronger connection to his culture may have prevented him from going to jail.
You were ashamed of being Māori?
Yeah. My grandfather is tūhoi. It's only 2 years ago I went to his marae. So going back to tūhoi and meeting the family and visiting all where my grandfather went was just, you know, putting more of me back together. They need to know who they are. Not be embarrassed of anything. This is all things we're trying to do.
Despite being just 15% of the general population, Māori are more than 50% of all prisoners. And that's part of the motivation for ensuring the Bros for Change program is accessible to kids who need it, free of charge.
If we charged all the families, we would have no kids. We don't want to do that. We want to charge the government. I mean, you could give us, you know, 10% of what it costs for to hold them in prison for a year with better outcomes, you know.
Finally, after 5 years of hard slog, Bros for Change has been recognised for its remarkable results. Receiving $500,000 from the government to get more rangatahi into training and employment.
Has it been tough for you to get that recognition?
Yeah, to start with, but no one wanted to be the first to jump in and say, yeah, we'll back you, because we were just a big risk. The idea was we just wanted to help people, and I think, well, it's working, isn't it?
In fact, it's working so well, their Timatanga Ho program is booked out until 2022.
My favourite highlight so far is probably the swing.
The final evening at camp, and the boys reflect on the week's highs and lows.
What do I want out of this program? Oh, memories and tight connection with the boys.
Get an 8-pack. Yeah. Get muscles.
We're in the dugout with them at the moment, eh? So they see us as equal and someone they can trust and someone they can talk to. And that's the whole idea.
What are you prepared to change to move forward?
You know, that conversations and communication are the two key things to stop anyone from making a bad decision.
The boys have made it through orientation week, the first step towards realising their potential and a better future.
Are you excited to see where these guys end up in 20 weeks?
I am. I have visions of them standing there in 20 weeks in a nice shirt and being proud of what they've achieved with a full CV. I feel like some will be in full-time employment and ready, equipped with more life skills and experiences and some built resilience to cope with things that will come up in their life. And they will come up.
Go!
It's never too late. You can do whatever you want. And that's what we're projecting onto the kids.
Kei runga no atu koutou. Kua hikina te hui mo tēnei rā e hoa mā, nohoro mai rā.
With support from New Zealand On Air.